Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here. Thank God that we're here one more time. He's allowed us to come together, to be in the number. Amen. He woke us up, kept us as we slept, kept us by his mighty power, and we're grateful for that. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what a blessing it is to be here. We thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Facebook friends and followers, all of our LinkedIn connections and followers and friends, and also all of our Twitter followers. We thank God for you. We want you to know that you too can have the salvation of God. Like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, to repent, turn, make a 180-degree turn, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's the same message, the promises unto you, as he preached on the day of Pentecost to the Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He exhorted and testified with many other words, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So this gospel was initially preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, but there were many devout Jews and people from every nation under heaven. They said, we do hear in our own language wherein we were born the wonderful works of God. So we want you to know. That's why we keep using our theme, the Godhead. We want you to know there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, as Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he's above all, through all, and in you all. So he was talking to born-again believers. So knowing that the Holy Ghost was poured out, as it was prophesied by the prophet Joel, whatever way you want to pronounce it, it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The old man shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Those days I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That word prophesy means preach. Your sons and your daughters. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female in Christ Jesus. So thank God, amen, that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So he is the one, amen, that was written of, oh God, just like he said, the writer said, it is written of me, oh God, to do thy will in the 40th Psalm. But he's the one that Moses wrote about. Like he told the Jews, if you had known Moses, you would have known me because he wrote of me. So these things in the 24th chapter of Luke, Jesus himself said, all things must be written, fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So they were on the road to Emmaus. After his resurrection, they thought he was a gardener. He vanished out of their sight. They said, did not our heart burn within us while he spoke to us along the way? Amen. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father, he told them, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that is the Holy Ghost that we were just previously talking about. Joel speaking of the Holy Ghost being poured out upon all flesh. So people are still receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, he is the keeper. Yes, that is the earnest of our inheritance. We are the prize. We are the purchase possession. Talking about the church when he let them know who they were in Christ Jesus. So we thank God for that. He is the same one that was back there in the beginning. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. He was the only witness on the stand. The Lord himself said, I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none with me. There's none beside me. There's none after me. There's none before me. I don't know of any God. Is there a God beside me? He said in the book of Isaiah, I don't know of any. And he is omniscient. Omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's every place. So he's real. That's what we want you to know. Like Jesus said, no man can descend from heaven. When he was speaking there in the book of St. John, he was telling them, I've told you earthly things. You don't believe them. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So he goes on here, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we do know, testify what we have seen. If you receive not our witness, I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, he said. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And he was standing on earth when he said it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So he goes on, the most famous and beloved scripture in the Bible, St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what a blessing to know what the word of the Lord says. This is what Jesus always tried to let everyone know. And he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What scriptures? The scriptures in the law of Moses. What scriptures? The scriptures are in the prophets. What scriptures? The scriptures that are in the Psalms. They preached Jesus out of the law. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached him out of the book of Psalms. They didn't have what we have, and that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the epistles, and they wrote them. That's why I say the argument of some about apostles nowadays, which there are no apostles. There are only 12 apostles of the Lamb, the 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, going to have the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So when you realize and recognize and search the scriptures of the qualification to be an apostle is, firstly, you had to see the Lord. They were chosen by God. He chose the disciples whom he named apostles, and he taught them. They laid the foundation, they wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. So you can't crown yourself, even the Lord, you can't crown yourself an apostle. You can't, even the Lord is not going to crown himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the church, the elders, he is going to be crowned. He's not going to crown himself, but he is going to be crowned by others. So you cannot make a calling on yourself. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So we just have to get an understanding. Like the writer says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get an understanding. So you got to have an understanding. So thank God that we are here on another day, and we have been teaching about the end time signs. So we kind of laid a foundation last week, letting you know about the days of Noah, making some comparison, going back in the book of Genesis about the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, in Genesis 13 and 13. And we know that in the 19th chapter of Genesis is when God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven from the Lord and destroyed them. We know in the 18th chapter of Genesis, when the three men visited Abraham and Sarah, one of the men was the Lord, and the other two went on about the business of the city to see what was going on there. They knew what was going on, but they had, and the men of the city tried to bring them out, wanted to bring them out of Lot's house, that they may know them. It was such wickedness in that city. We would say it's sick, but it was a wicked city. And so Abraham interceded in the 18th chapter of Genesis. The Bible said that Abraham drew near, and that's when he made that prayer of intercession and said, if it be 50 righteous, on down 40, 30, 20, if it be 10, the Lord said, I won't do it for 10's sake. In other words, I'll spare the city. I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 10's sake. But he could not find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we also didn't, so the Lord left communing with Abraham. So we also see, as we go on there, we gave the other sign. When they did come to rescue Lot and his daughters and sons-in-law and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they didn't want to go. And they had to take him by the hand and drag him out of there. And then also we know that his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So Lot wife is the example of unbelief. So sometimes people make references to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that he didn't gay bash, as quote unquote we would say, but that is wickedness. Homosexuality is a sin. That is under the branch of adultery, which is another branch of adultery, is fornication. Like I was saying, I made mention on last week that fornication is two people that are not married to each other having sexual intercourse. Adultery, one person don't have to be married, but the other person can be married to someone else, and they're having intercourse with somebody that's not married. They're an adulterer or adulteress, depending on if it's a woman or a man. But if both people are married and having sexual intercourse with someone who they are not married to, then they both are committing adultery. Not just fornication for one and adultery for the other in that instance. So the point being is, like I made mention, the state or the government, the Supreme Court, whoever, can uphold, make whatever laws they want for same-sex marriage. But as far as God is concerned, you are not married. It's an illegal procedure. You cannot marry the same gender. It's illegal. That in the world to come, we're going to be neuter gender. We'll be as the angels, neither male nor female. Right now, if you want to be married, you got to do it in this life. Because two saith he shall be one flesh. That's a great mystery. Apostle Paul said in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, but he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And you know, in the 5th chapter of Genesis, he called Adam and Eve. The Bible said that he called their name Adam. Eve was the mother of all living. So we want to continue on here in our lesson here. And this is these are synoptic gospels. There are some writers look at things from a different light, but everyone is saying the same thing, and Scripture will support Scripture. So everyone is saying the same thing, and there are different time settings. There are literally things that happen to the apostles or disciples during their time, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, what happened literally during that time, that he says there's not going to be one stone left upon another. That has already happened. But we do have the days of Noah, and we also have the days of Lot. We made mention also, I believe, last week about Paul writing his letter to Timothy, that perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud boasters, blasphemers, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And he told him to turn away from this kind of activity or these kind of people. So we have all kinds of things that are going on. So we have to watch, like Jesus said, and pray that we enter not into temptation. So you gotta watch yourself more than anything. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So this is what we have to do. So we know to not experience, speak it expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines, plural, of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. I hold there. Pause for station identification right here. You are listening to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, the spokesman for the King of Glory, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And should you desire to call in, you have a question or a comment, you are very welcome. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You are welcome to call in should you have a question or should you have a comment. Thank you. May the Lord bless you real good. So we're going on here. So he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy. These are things that are going to happen in the last days, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron. And you're hit, as we say. Ain't no coming back. If you're reprobate, you think wrong is right and right is wrong. If you're a reprobate, your conscience seared with a hot iron. So he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is he talking about? Food that you eat, meat specifically, what he is talking about here. So he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Doctrine, remember, doctrine is teaching, whereupon thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So in other words, that's the most important thing. That is the chief thing. You got to feed your soul. You got to get food for your soul, for your spirit, that inner man. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. There are all kinds of doctrines out there, group of people. They actually believe that you're not going to die. I mean, they're out of their mind. Nobody has ever got out of planet Earth, left planet Earth alive. Only two people got caught away, and that was Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Enoch, before that, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Didn't say he didn't see it. He didn't die. He didn't see it. He was translated that he should not see death. Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. So this group of people think, like somebody said, Jesus says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And he's pointed, this is at one of my sister-in-law's funeral years ago, and he said, this is of the devil. That is a lie. That is not of the devil. It's a once appointed on the men to die, and after this, the judgment. In the book of Hebrews 9 and 27. But the point being, the death that Jesus was talking about was not the physical death, but the death that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about was the physical, that was not the physical death, I'm sorry, but the death that Jesus Christ is talking about, that if a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. He's talking about spiritual death, the second death, which is the lake of fire. So that's why you got to die to yourself. You got to be buried with him by baptism unto death, the sixth chapter of Romans. So a lot happens when you go down in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You're planted together in the likeness of his death. You also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man is crucified, henceforth that you should not serve sin. He that is dead, Apostle Paul goes on to say, is freed from sin. And he said, thanks be unto God. You know, we got this form of doctrine. There it is, teaching. So you got to know what's going on. So if you're born again, that means you already died to your sins. So you die once, you die physically. You won't even do that if you are caught away in the rapture, because some of us are going to be alive and remain. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Apostle Paul goes on to say, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Apostle Paul thought even during his day that the Lord would come. So how close are we now to the coming of the Lord? So we see iniquity shall abound, he said. The love of many shall wax cold. So much violence going on, wars and rumors of wars. Those are end time signs. People calling each other bluff, nuclear weapons. Oh, don't do this. Don't do that. I mean, back in the
the first Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, back in the first Gulf War, supposedly he attacked them because of aggression, because he had a little ought against Saddam Hussein, which at one time we were his friends. They were his friend. So, I mean, even like the Vietnam War, that should have never been. The United States wants to police the world. We should have never been in that. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spake out against that the year before he was assassinated. So it doesn't matter. Like, the point being, that's why you need eternal life. When you're born again, you receive the earnest of the inheritance. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the earnest of the inheritance. In other words, that's your down payment. Like when you buy a house, you give earnest money, letting them know that you mean business. So God's got to purchase possession. He's going to do that. So it doesn't matter. If you kill, he said, don't fear him that can kill the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So what is he saying? Have reverential fear. Fear God himself. So you got the reverential fear. You're not going around shaking and afraid and scared, as we would say, afraid, because people have certain fears, and every time he would appear unto someone, even back when he was a dreadful God, before he made his name known back in the days, he would always say, fear not. So the point being, we have the reverential fear. We fear him. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. As the proverbial writer said in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So you do right. You don't have to worry, because you believe in him. You're going to do what he say, and you don't have to worry. But if you don't believe him, you're already condemned. So that's the point being. And like I always say, you listen to this show, no man can serve two masters. This is it's profound what Jesus said. Either you hate one, cleave to the other, you hold to the one, you despise the other. He went on to say you cannot serve God and mammon. Notice the thing what he said is a master. So mammon is money. And then God is going to bring down the ports. He's the rich. He's going to bring them down. Oh, yes, he is, because money is their God. So money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10, Apostle Paul says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. He told Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after charity, love them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He went on to say, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, but that they trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. But he commissioned him or admonished him to keep that which I have committed unto thy trust, and lay hold on eternal life. So surely we got to have money. With food and raiment, he says, be therewith content. We didn't bring nothing in this world. Certainly we're not going to take anything out. Have food, raiment, be content. But he went on to let him know, godliness with contentment is great gain, which means it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. No, I don't want to go to the outhouse. I've seen them before many years ago. Some of the younger people, they never seen that. I mean, you didn't have to go down south to know about an outhouse back in the day. And, I mean, people know about Porter Johns. Well, that's a good example of an outhouse. Except for the outhouse, you couldn't move it around. It sat there until it rotted and fell over. They didn't reinforce it. But the point being is, no one's saying that you don't want to live better or do better and you need more money to live. That's what's going on in the world today. Greed, they don't want to give people a minimum wage. None of them greedy, high-minded, arrogant people who don't want to give somebody else helping hand in Congress and in the Senate and the House and all. They're not going to work for no crumbs, no $10 an hour. They're not working for $15 an hour. They're greedy, the ones that are. That's who I'm talking to you. Just like they say, preachers used to say, I'm not talking to you unless it's you. So I'm talking to all of the greedy ones. I don't care who it is. It matters not. So they're going to pay. God is not playing with nobody. That's going to be the worst part about being in the lake of fire. For those kind of people with that kind of arrogant attitude, you wouldn't even give somebody, a biscuit, a piece of bread, a carrot or whatever, a potato, an apple. I mean, some ignorant people in this world, greedy. You know, I got mine, and forget you, too bad for you. And so they don't want to do, like the Bible say, give that which is just and equal. About you masters in the book of Colossians, I want you, that's a command for you to give that which is just equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. There is no respecter of persons with him. So you got some people that do pay what's just and equal. So there's so much greed going on in the world. So the violence and the greed are some of the main things that are end time signs. You're also pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places are end time signs. And even the weather is an end time sign. So they talk about global warming or whatever. It is global warming. I mean, a lot of things are going on put in the atmosphere. I mean, with all the technology and everything we have, emission going out of people's cars, there's so much going on in the world, and so some don't like that term, global warming. And I mean, even someone made a statement yesterday or whatever, I saw on Facebook about where's the global warming. But I mean, it is, like they say, there's lava under the earth. You got to realize who made this earth. He's not playing. So the point being, even the weather, what's going on in the weather, temperatures have been, we have been colder than Alaska, many different places. This 2013-14 winter, in December, even November was cold in December. Then now we're into January 2014. But here's one thing that you can, people don't believe God, you better take heed unto him, because he is not playing. So great is our Lord, and great power, his understanding is infinite. He lifted up the meek, he casted the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing unto him upon the harp, unto our God, who covered the heaven with clouds, who prepared rain for the earth, who make grass to grow upon the mountains. These are things that he does, okay? He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. This is in the 147th Psalm. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. So we go on here, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. So not just Jerusalem. Now, okay, we go on here. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Talking about God's word. That's why everything is up there. That's in the book of the Hebrews. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. In other words, he told it to be there. And so during the tribulation period, when the moon's going to turn into blood, the planets going to start running into each other. Why? Because God is going to let it happen. So they're there because of what he said. Job said he stretches out the north over the empty place. My question is, initially to begin with, think about this. Which way is the north? God determined which way is the north. So he stretched out the north over the empty place, Job said, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. It's up there about hanging up there on nothing, but it's hanging, it's out there by the word of God. We would say nothing. So it goes on here. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. Where did the snow come? In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, says, for as the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, that it may give seed, to make it the earth to bring forth and to bud. That the earth may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Not money. That is a lie. Too many preachers are lying about sowing a seed and all that. That is not what he's talking about. He is literally talking about rain and snow coming down from heaven, making the earth to bring forth the bud, that it may give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And he goes on, so shall my word to go forth out of my mouth, not return unto me void, but shall accomplish the thing that I sent it, and it shall prosper in that which I please. So he goes on here to say, he giveth snow like wool, the writer says. He scattereth the hoary frost like ashes. Now, we know frost, that's cold. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who are we talking about? God. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who could stand before his cold? C-O-L-D, the writer says. Who could stand before his cold? That's a question. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes, and his judgment unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. The writer says, praise ye the Lord. But you imagine, look at this scripture of Psalm 147 and 17. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. We know, we say chocolate M&Ms, morsels, chocolate candy, Hershey's, or whatever. We call that morsels. It's talking about God. He casted forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? C-O-L-D. I mean, like they said, a true God's word and true science is in perfect harmony. And think about it. It is amazing what God does. And like they say, scientifically, they always have said that we're 93 million miles away from the sun. So somebody said if we were any closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were any farther away from the sun, we would freeze to death. You know what? They got a good point. That is a good point, because you got the here we are. We've been had wind chill factors of well below zero this winter season. That you can hear, you hear of earthquakes, you hear all kinds of things happening, and who is you know how they say Mother Nature is confused? No, God is not playing. Said he shake heaven, he shake not only the earth but heaven also, and the things which shall remain may remain. So he's speaking. He is not playing. He sends the lightning of the, in other words, you hear the thunder, there's lightning going off of it. I mean, he don't play. And that's one thing they know. Ask the PGA. Ask people in these golf courses. When they ring that buzzer or that whistle or whatever you want to call that thing, when they see lightning, they know it's not a joke. People have been struck dead on golf courses by lightning, which comes off the thunder. It's the lightning of the thunder. So that is also an end time sign, like we said, what is going on in the weather, in the violence that is going on in the land, and the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of wars and the promiscuity. I mean, big words we use for stuff. Like Apostle Paul was talking about all manner of concupiscence in the seventh chapter of Romans, which is, to make it plain, illicit sex, orgies, all these kind of things. What is going on in the world, and right before people's eyes, and they say sex sells. I mean, people, some things people ought to be ashamed of, but they are not. They're in the flesh. So that's why Apostle Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. So man, woman, human beings have an animal-like nature. That's why they call it lust. The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So be that the spirit of God dwell in you. So that's why he said the grace of God that appeareth that bringeth salvation, Titus 2:11, hath appeared unto all men. Apostle Paul wrote, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is the great God, and he is our Savior. So we have to look at the days of Noah. We have to look at the days of Lot. And like I said, we'll go back here in the book of Luke. And so one of the worst sins in the world, the worst sin in the world, is unbelief. And Lot's wife was definitely an example of unbelief because she didn't get out of there. They told her, don't look back. You know, run for your life. She didn't. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. So it was a horrible life, horrible way to go. So, and so like we say, these are dispensations in between some of the things that are happening. But the point being that these are end time signs. So he says, likewise in the days of Lot, they did eat. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Don't that sound familiar? Oh, yes, it does. Not just talking about the United States, all over the world. I remember seeing on 60 Minutes, I believe it was in China, if not mistaken. They got all these buildings. I mean, a lot of things are going on. These big developers have money and building places. They want to put people in there to live so they could collect that rent. Is what they want to do. They want to make money. And until this housing bubble busted in 08 and this so-called financial meltdown, as they call it, Wall Street had to get bailed out with almost $1 trillion. And, I mean, they ain't got no apologies to what's going on. Like I said, all the greed that is going on. And people used to brag and say, and I remember one of my uncles, my father's oldest brother, which they're all gone now, back in the 60s and 70s. And, I mean, he was an older gentleman. He retired from Ford Motor Company, I believe, in the late 60s or whatever. And he had houses that he rented out to people, and that was what people were doing. They had properties that they rented out. So you got properties, you're renting out properties, you are making money. And so now with the after the housing bubble that burst, and a financial meltdown that happened in 08, a lot of people some people went and bought properties that weren't, I know of someone that bought properties, wasn't a wise thing to do, and some folks are sitting on houses, as they say. They are not making any income on them because you can't get nobody in there. You're not going to make nothing. So that is the way that it's going on, even on a larger scale, as I said about that 60-minute piece, I believe it was in China, all these big buildings that they had with no bodies in them. So we go on here, they planted, they built, but the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. God poured it out, and God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible said in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Romans 6 and 23 talked about God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Excuse me, Romans 3 and 23. But Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the point being, these greedy people, they don't want to pay other people a minimum wage. They're not going to work for that kind of a salary themselves, but God is not playing. He's going to pay you. He's going to pay fairly. He don't care if you're rich or you're poor, with one O. Not poor, but poor. God don't care. He's going to pay the wages. Everybody's going to receive wages. What are you talking about? The son of Bor, Peter was talking about, because he was talking about the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbid the madness of the prophet. But anyway, he went on to say about Baal and all that, they're going to receive the reward of unrighteousness. Isn't that who want a reward like that? A reward of unrighteousness? I don't want it, but some people are going to get it. God is not playing. Everybody going to get paid. So they think they're bad. See how bad they are. They don't, you know, money is their God, then hell will be their home, the lake of fire. Death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So he says about the fire and brimstone from heaven came down and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which is upon the housetop and the stuff in the house, let him not come down, take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. And here it is. That scripture is only three words. In St. Luke 17 and 32, Jesus said, and he's saying all these other words that I just read too, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife is the example of unbelief. Too many people don't believe. And I remember this man who died. I don't know what he was. He couldn't talk. He was in a wheelchair. He had to use a computer or whatever. But on his deathbed, he made a declaration. I guess that's the terminology that you could use. In other words, he made his point is, I still don't believe in God, is what he was saying. So what a nasty spirit. No, the devil had his mind, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. So we go on here. So it says, remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, two shall be in one bed, one shall be taken. Two men in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. He's talking about in the workplace. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So you gotta believe the report of the Lord. So now remember, St. Luke was the beloved physician. And then this is Luke's gospel. He actually has another chapter talking about end time signs also. Besides the 17th, he has the 21st chapter also talking about end time signs. Now remember now, Luke, St. Luke, the beloved physician, he wrote Luke and he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. He wasn't an apostle, but he was a disciple. And he was a mighty man of God that walked with Jesus. He was one of his disciples. Now, John was an apostle, and Matthew was an apostle. So we go here on, like I said, remember the terminology that we use called synoptic gospels. So there's only one gospel. There are four gospel writers. People saw things. They saw the same things. But there are those that went into detail. Like someone said about Peter Simon Peter's wife was sick. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. One writer said he touched her hand and the fever left her. Another writer said he stood over her and the fever was gone. So, I mean, everybody was telling the truth. He stood over her. He touched her. He took her by the hand. Point being, fever was gone. So we go on here, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a poor widow casting in thither two mites. He said, this is Jesus. Now, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than ye all. And so he goes on here, for all they have of their abundance cast in their offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And some of them spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So that, remember now, on last week, we dealt with this, I believe, out of the book of Matthew. We also dealt with it out of the book of Mark and Luke. All three of them, Jesus gives this account about take heed that no man deceive you. So you got to be careful. I don't care who you are, who your leader is. And so we have the example, as the Apostle Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So you got to be careful. Somebody start speaking perverse things, as in the 20th chapter of Acts of the Apostle. Apostle Paul said, after my departing, shall men rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after him. So he was letting them know they were going to see his face no more. Don't weep for me. Break my heart. He said, I'm not only ready to go to Jerusalem, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So he knew what great hope that he had in the gospel. That's why he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but also for all of them that love his appearing. So he is going to appear, like he said, and take the church out of here any day. He can do that. So don't. That's why in the first three chapters of Revelation, he had oughts, so against them. In the fourth chapter, a door was open in heaven. Everything else is looking back. John is writing, and Jesus only said a few more things in the book of the Revelation after the fourth chapter. When he said, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according as his works shall be. I'm coming quickly. Not perhaps, not maybe, but he said, surely I come quickly. Nobody's going to stop him. So here he tells them, he gives a heed, and this is to us too, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for those things must come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he goes on to say, he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, fearful sights and great signs, and shall there be from heaven. So these things are actually going on. Like I said, this is a different dispensation, but these are still the end time signs, because he's talking about them. They're going to lay hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. You're going to be brought before rulers for my name's sake. It shall turn to you for a testimony, set or therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed by both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. Some of them shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. All these, there shall not an hair of your head perish, and your patience possess ye your soul. So this is Luke 21 and 19. So here, the 20th verse, this is the destruction of Jerusalem as he is going on to talk about here. So I think we should quit right here. So there are signs in the world, so people wonder why the violence and all. So we know Peter said the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is a real fool. He uses anybody that he can. I mean, you got disrespectful people, even people standing up calling the president a liar, all kinds of things. Yeah, evil people in the world. I mean, the former vice president that we had under the Bush administration was an evil man. I mean, this guy don't care nothing about no Democrat or no Republican. I mean, the policies that people have, I mean, people are greedy. A title is not going to protect nobody. The Bible said that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So that's where safety is, Proverbs 21 and 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So you want to be safe, you need to get in Jesus, because he sends legions of angels to camp about his people. That's why he said, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for they who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angel of the Lord encamp about them that fear him and delivereth them. So we thank God for his word on today. We're going to have to go ahead and wrap up. So there's still much to say in these end time signs. So don't be shocked. So we got a job to do with our grandchildren and our children about all this foolishness. They're trying to desensitize our children about this foolishness. No, it's like it was when I was little. And I was born in the 50s, early 50s, and that is little boy like little girl like little boy. God made you to desire the opposite sex. It matters not who don't like it. So not people leaving their wife for another man or woman leaving her husband for another woman. No, you can't marry the same gender. You can't. Are they going to have a baby? Two women? No, they can't. Are two men going to have a baby? No, they can't. I mean, that stinks in God's eyesight, two men together raising children and all that. I mean, that's ridiculous. Two women together, that is nasty. It's a nasty spirit. It's an unclean spirit. And that's why, they should stay in the closet. They shouldn't come out. Liars need to shut up lying, but they ain't going to stop. Adulterers, they don't care. They're not going to stop lying. Murderers ain't going to stop murdering. Thieves ain't going to stop stealing, because that's what they do. Thank God. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope that this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.